Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
The message today is really easy. The message has one point, and I'm going to give it to you straight up, right at the beginning, so you can't forget it. The message today, one singular point, and that point is the King is coming. The King is coming. Have you not seen? Have you not heard? The King is coming. When was the last time that you were able to rise from bed early enough in the morning, in the pitch darkness of the early morning, to watch the sunrise? Most of us are sleeping away. I know some of us get up really early. I think I was talking to Ed this week, and he said he's getting up at 2:30 in the morning. The sun doesn't rise until 7, so Ed is up early enough, but I think he might be working. He might not be able to see the sunrise. But when was the last time you actually got up early enough in the morning to watch the sunrise? I have done this a couple of times. It's been a while. Usually I'm driving to work when the sun rises. And I think it's fascinating that in a matter of moments, the sky will transform from pitch blackness with the stars twinkling up above. It will be filled with those twinkling stars. And then it starts on a clear morning with no clouds. It'll start turning a purple color as the sun begins to rise. And then that purple will deepen and turn into a reddish orange color. And as morning twilight gives way to sunrise, the darkness is overcome by the brilliant rays of sunlight, heavenly sunlight. So it shall be when the King arrives. Because friends, the King is coming. Scriptures tell us the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, kind of like the sunrise. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Are you ready for his return? I love that passage I just read. It's in Isaiah chapter 9, and it really plays off of a phrase in that familiar psalm, Psalm 23. You know how it goes in Psalm 23. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, for on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. In Psalm 23, we talk about, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why shall we not fear? Why does the psalmist tell us? Because a light has dawned. A light has dawned. The King is coming. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Why? Because the King is coming. During Advent, we remember the story about the first time that the King came. In John chapter 1, in verses 5 through 9, it says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming in the world when the King came the first time. On his first arrival into our neighborhood, no one recognized the King for who he was, the true light. The King at that time was born of a virgin, born into scandal. The King on that first visit was born in a manger, born into poverty rather than a king's palace. the king on that first visit was born as one of the least of these, so that all people everywhere can know the gift of salvation. The first time the king came, the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness could not understand it. His parables were confusing. His credentials were unconventional. And like so often when humanity doesn't understand something, they beat him up, they nailed him to a cross, they mocked him as a king, failing to grasp, failing to understand that the very Messiah that they were yearning for, that they were seeking for, was bleeding and dying at their own hands in that moment. Talk about not being able to understand the true life. The first time the king came, they didn't understand. Darkness did not understand the light. But that was just the first visit to our neighborhood. The king is coming again. Advent and celebrating Christmas, it isn't just about remembering the story of the Christ child. It's about that, but it's not just about that, church. It's also about anticipating the rest of the story. The best part is still to be told. The best part of this story is still to be told. It's yet to unfold because the king is coming. Have I told you the king is coming yet this morning? But Pastor, when will he come? How can we know? How can we be ready? One time Jesus was teaching his disciples and he shared this parable with them. And I think it's interesting that this parable is all about the light. Listen to it. It's in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Jesus at that time was talking to his disciples and he says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. It's like taking a flashlight out with no batteries. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and they fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up, and they trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, give us some of your oil. Our lamps, they're going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom actually arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut, Jesus said. Later, the others also came. They knocked at the door and they said, "Sir, sir, open the door for us." But the bridegroom replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." And then Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "Therefore, keep watch, my friends, because you do not know the day and you do not know the hour." The king is coming, church. Some will be ready. Some will not. Some will have their lamps lit, prepared, awaiting for the arrival of the king. Others will be distracted, lacking, longing for another shot at being ready. Distracted by money or the pursuit of power, longing for joy and peace and justice by seeking it out in earthly things, but lacking when it matters because they are essentially barking up the wrong tree, unprepared. The king is coming like a thief in the night. Are we certain that our hearts are ready? Are we confident that our souls are protected by the saving grace that the king provided on his first visit to our realm, to our neighborhood? Just like a thief, there will be no warning. Just like a burglar, he'll arrive without ringing our doorbell. and we won't know what happened if we're not ready. Some will wake up and they will rise up to join the king because they've been prepared. But friends, tragically, some will wake up to the nightmare of being locked out, left behind, eternally bankrupt, bowled over with grief, bewildered that they missed the opportunity and asking what just happened. The king is coming, church. I want you to hear that this morning. The king is coming. Advent, this season of Christmas, it is about preparing our hearts and living our lives so that we will be ready for his return. The lights of Christmas, I think that the lights that we see all over the place, the lights in the darkness as you go out and about, the lights of Christmas, they foreshadow the second coming of Jesus Christ. Christmas is not about just the gifts or the carols or the jingle bells or the flying reindeer or even the elf on the shelf. Those are all fun things. We celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas time, but Christmas is also a time to anchor our hearts, to make sure that our hearts are anchored in the reality that the King is coming back. Yes, he died on the cross and he purchased our salvation. And yes, he rose from the grave and he defeated death once for all. And yes, he ascended into heaven victorious and is sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven at the throne at this very moment. But he made a promise. He made a promise. He told his disciples, I'll be coming back. In John chapter 14, last night of his time on this earth with his disciples in that upper room, he told them straight up. He made it very clear. He was not mysterious. He was not talking in parables. He literally told them, and Arnold Schwarzenegger wasn't the first to do this. He said, I'll be back. He said, I will be back. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus told his disciples in red letters, he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. See, he said it. I will come back and take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. I find myself often reading that particular passage at funerals. We read that passage during funerals because it gives us comfort and hope about where our loved ones who have passed on are going, where they're at now. But Jesus isn't sharing this word in the context of a funeral. It is helpful and comforting to us during those tragic moments of loss. But he's not sharing this word with his disciples in the context necessarily of a funeral. He's sharing with them what he's up to while he's not with us, while he's gone. Because friends, the king is coming. The king is coming. He's coming back to take us with him that we may be where he is too. There's this house that's down the street in our neighborhood. It's down the street, around the corner. And during Thanksgiving week, a couple of weeks ago, I was outside in my yard kind of finishing up the leaf raking and everything. So I was outside quite a bit doing yard work. And I could hear the hammers hammering. And I could hear the saws sawing. And I even caught the hint of sawdust in the air. And I walked past this house with Pepper often on my evening walks with her because they're renovating this house. The sounds and the smells of construction are ringing throughout the neighborhood throughout the day as the workers are working to renovate this house. And you know, friends, it struck me that that's kind of what's going on right now, not far away. Jesus, the King, is finishing up the work on a new heaven and a new earth. It's almost like the work is going on right down the street and around the corner. As this world convulses or seems to convulse these days with storms and wildfires, hurricanes, earthquakes, famine, war, pandemic, political power struggles, as the world convulses with all these things, I really believe that all those things are just, those rumblings are simply the sounds foreshadowing. They're foreshadowing a renovation that is being ready to be unveiled when the king comes back. The king is coming. And when he arrives, he will be bringing with him a new heaven and a new earth made perfectly, Eden restored, so that Jesus can be with his people, the adopted, the small p priests, the ambassadors who are living their lives for him while waiting for his return. The king is coming. Did you get that this morning? Have you written that down yet? The king is coming. Are you ready for the king to return? Can you hear it? Can you smell it? The king is coming, my friends. And I want that truth to sink in to your hearts this morning. I remember as a child anticipating the arrival of Christmas, and it was so hard as a little one to be patient. And I remember our own children, it was just so hard to be patient. And on Christmas Eve, it was even just hard to go to sleep because the anticipation of Christmas morning was palpable. All those presents under the tree. What's in this one? What's in that one? I wonder if that one is for me. That's a big one. I hope it is for me. And sometimes in our walk with Jesus, I think it's really hard to wait for good things to come to pass. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it's just hard. It's hard to be patient waiting for good things to come to pass. When we're in the midst of a trial or in the midst of suffering, we become impatient. We get anxious. We can't sleep like that little kid on Christmas Eve. We make rash decisions. We're more apt to listen to deceptive voices that will tickle our ears with what we want to hear. We wind up buying into false things that we think will quicken the coming of the kingdom. And I think part of preparing for the second arrival of the king is to learn to be patient. I think God is patient with us. Aren't you thankful that God is patient with us? But I think he's also preparing us for his second arrival by teaching us to be patient. I think part of preparing for his coming again is learning to stay calm and to trust him in the midst of the chaos. It's very easy to get into crisis situations, and our first inclination is to panic. That fight or flight mechanism kicks in, our heart rate gets up, our adrenaline rushes, and it's really difficult to stay calm and simply trust Jesus when our mind and our body's telling us to do otherwise. But he wants us to learn to be patient, to stay calm, and to trust him. I think part of preparing for Jesus' return is learning to stay focused on the here and now, looking for God and how he's working, how Jesus is working in our lives here and now, in the midst of some of the crisis and chaos and some of the boredom and doldrums that we find ourselves living in. Part of preparing for Jesus' return, I think, is learning to tune out the distracting voices, learning to tune out those voices that want to tickle our ears maybe with what we want to hear. And instead, I think God wants us to learn to tune into the still, small voice that he speaks to us, that he speaks to us in the midst of the chaos. The king is coming. Will he find us ready when he returns? Will he find us hiding in our basements in fear? Or will he find us doing all we can to live for him and to be pointing other people to Jesus with our lives? We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. It may not even be in our earthly lifetime. But friends, I'm telling you, the king is coming. There is coming a time, there is an appointed place and a time coming down the pike when he will come and our lives, our souls, our experience will intersect with the presence of the coming king. And he will not be a humble child born in a manger, but he is coming as a conquering king and as a conquering warrior and as a conquering judge. And if we're ready, we have nothing to fear. As a matter of fact, if we're ready, it will be better than the best Christmas you have ever experienced in your whole life. 1,000 times better, because the king is coming. And one of the greatest gifts he gives us is a heads up, an advance warning. He's giving us notice. He's coming back so that we can be fully prepared. Advent is about preparing for the coming of the king, not just of the baby Christ child in the manger that happened 2,000 years ago, but for the return of our conquering king and savior. So my question simply this morning is, what's your reaction to the reality that the king is coming? He's coming. It's real. The king is coming. What do you need to be doing this Advent season to prepare, to make sure that you are ready for his return? Maybe as you evaluate your heart and your life, you find yourself being impatient with him. Maybe part of our preparation is to learn to be patient. Maybe as part of our waiting, we've gotten distracted by deceptive voices that tickle our ears, that make us think somehow if we go down that path, it'll make everything all right. Maybe we need to stop listening to those distracting voices and make some space in our lives so that we can hear the still, small voice of God. Sometimes during this season, we get so busy and we get so distracted that it's difficult to even remember that Christmas is about faith. It's about Jesus. And we don't even give ourselves time or space to be quiet, to be still, and to allow the still small voice of the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Maybe in your mind, you just haven't even contemplated that Christmas isn't just about the celebration of the Christ child, but that it is about the fact that the king is coming. We do all these things to get ready for Christmas. What are you doing intentionally this season to make sure that you're preparing your heart to be ready for the king to come back the second time? Is your lamp filled with oil? You have batteries in the flashlight? I remember Christmas morning, and you know, a big deal back when the kids were small was, you know, getting them a toy. And there was nothing like being a dad fail on Christmas morning by having a toy that needed batteries and I failed to have the batteries. Don't be found wanting with dead batteries or no oil when the king returns. Church, he's given us notice. He's told us that he's gone to prepare a place so that he can come back and take us so that we can be with him. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you really desire in your life? Be ready. The king is coming, and he's wanting us to prepare for that return here and now during this special time. And I think it's appropriate for us to ask ourselves, what do I need to do to prepare for his second coming in my life?
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.